If loving Gogi is wrong, I don't want to be right.
What would Socrates say to that?
It tickles my fans.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Goosies.
I don't have hair!
Oof.
You got Marcos.
That's not... No, that's not...
Wait.
Yeah, that's true. You do got me.
Get over here, Marcos. Let me look at you.
They don't want this
money! They don't want it!
Tobin and Leroy, ready to deploy. Had to hit her with a little journalism, but that was a decoy. Better have about me, boy, okay. Leroy and Tobin, hold to the show, man. Stairs on the stars with the show, and till then, his half moon open. Sometimes go taste like a snowman. No proof, I'm a liar, better mold in. No proof. Like I always wanted him, I never hated him. I never traded him, and if I did, I never ever traded. You know what? What is a star? Like under the city, the driver's side floor. Goose like a large, so many more. 10 in the more, never a bar. Hey, 10 in the more, 2 to the P. Nothing to you, but it's something to me. Handsome as ever. Cute as can be, you can watch this on YouTube with you for free. This one time for the Twitch, this one time for the text, this one time for the phone line, whole time wonder what they gonna do next.
You know, I just wish you guys would stop the quibbling.
Alrighty, we're live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of 104.3 FM WQAM. It's Tobin and Leroy, and they go from one big fella to another with Tobin out today. Zach Gelb here with you, Brittany and Jay Fig back in the shop as well. And Leroy, I had no clue that, and first off, thank you for having me, but I had no clue that you were on the injured list, but you're playing through the pain.
It's really no pain. It's just very uncomfortable, right? It's hard sleeping. It's hard getting around. Believe it or not, one of the hardest things to do is take a shower. Because if you can't, like, I can take the brace off, but you can't bend your arm. And like anything that you do risk re-popping the tendon. And it's only been a week and a couple of days.
Can you not get your arm wet? Is that the dealio?
No, I can get my, I can take a shower with it. Like I just got the, I had a cast for a couple of days. Then I had an ace bandage. And then Wednesday I got the ace bandage taken off. So all I have is like the stitches and the steri strips around the stitches, but I can get it wet. I just can't submerge it.
Gotcha. So it's not, I don't know how else to say this. This is what I call this device. I have no clue what it's actually called. It's not like one of those shower condoms that you're wearing.
No,
on your arm.
No. It's brutal. And like, even without it, I still can't wash my left arm.
Wow.
So like my wife, who likes to take control of everything, says, I got this. So I'm just standing there like a useless human being while my wife washes my left arm and underneath my arm.
Are you getting a preview of what 95-year-old Leroy looks like?
I guess. I guess.
Just not the diaper.
I guess. But it's like, it's brutal. It's brutal. Because like the first... When you go to the first visit, they say, hey, you can't drive. And I'm like, if I get pulled over, I'd rather deal with a cop than dealing with telling my wife I need a ride here, here, and here.
Yeah, with the backseat driving and all that.
My goodness. So, but other than that, I went into the studio, was it Tuesday? Yeah, Tuesday.
So you're playing through the pain. That's what it is. I know you say there's no pain, but...
No pain. My mouth works.
Yeah. I just... It's tough for me to believe. And you know I love you, and I've loved you for years. I have your Michigan jersey for crying out loud. It's tough for me to believe, though, that 4th of July, little beach chair, big, strong guy like Leroy Horde just picks up a little beach chair, and then boom, your arm goes.
In fairness... When I played football, I had a partial tear. Now, it didn't hurt. It felt like a cramp.
Did you ever get it cleaned up, though, that partial tear?
No, I didn't. So what the doctor said was it may have been a freak accident, but you put the wrong pressure on that spot.
And it just snapped.
Right. But I've been doing everything. Like, I golf. I exercise, I don't do weights, I do everything in the pool. I've been doing all that for years. Nothing. Never even felt any pain or nothing, right? And then all of a sudden, this little twist, flick of my hand, pop.
But you know I love you, but you got to come up with a better story. You can't. I know, a guy like you, you a proud what? Guy like you, a strong guy like you, can't be telling somebody that Leroy Horde, big Leroy Horde, had a little bicep injury over picking up a Tommy Bahama chair at the beach. Come on.
But here's what's crazy. This story is more unbelievable than if I said I was curling 50-pound weights.
I mean, yeah, but at least that sounded a little bit more macho manly for you.
No, because that sounds stupid. To me, that sounds stupid.
Here's what you do. You say you were teaching Giannis Antetokounmpo how to deal with those iguanas. You and Tobin were out there. You went to go grab one of the iguanas, and you got in like a little tussle with the iguana, and then boom, it just went.
Hey, let me tell you this. Brittany, you are very familiar with this. If I told an iguana story of me wrestling an iguana, everybody would be like, stop lying. What really happened? I'm not the guy. I'm not a varmint guy.
You're a putty cat in that department is what you're saying? Yes, no? Like you're afraid of the iguana? Did he freeze up?
It sure seems that way, yes.
Are you back, Leroy?
I'm back.
I was going to say, I'm like, I don't know, maybe you didn't get what I was saying. Like, you're a putty cat in that department. You're like a big baby with the iguanas, is what you're saying.
Yeah, his Wi-Fi is
and stuff like that. I don't. I really don't. I'm good with that.
Yeah.
Like, there's no shame in that. I don't go in the ocean, right?
You don't go in the ocean at all?
No, why?
You know what? I went to the beach.
Because none of those critters ever came and knocked on my door. I'm not going to knock on theirs.
I went to a North Carolina beach for 4th of July. And my girlfriend and I, we go in the ocean. The other couple, the guy loves to go in the ocean. The girlfriend does not. He had to like carry her in the ocean. Like, what's the big deal here? It's either you go in the ocean or you don't. If you don't go in the ocean, you sit your ass on the beach and you enjoy yourself and you try not to mess up your arm moving beach chair.
That's it. That's how I am. Like, I don't, like everybody says I'm soft because I don't like this or this. I don't mess with.
Will you go in a pool?
Yeah. I got a pool. Oh, okay.
So you're afraid of sharks? Is that what it is?
All critters. If something came and nibbled on me, Leroy is out. I don't care what it is.
It's kind of surprising, by the way.
Like, why?
I'm afraid of...
Let me say this, Gelby. I think it's a white and black thing. No, it is.
How so?
It is. Because most black people don't like dogs.
Okay.
So it's that kind of thing. Now, I will say this. What kind of messes this up a little bit is my dad and his family are 100% redneck. They're from Hattiesburg, Mississippi. My dad didn't go, but all of his brothers went hunting and eat squirrel and stuff like that. Like they live out in the woods. So it's somewhere in my blood because that's why I hated visiting them. It was terrifying. I hated it.
I once got asked to go to like someone's ranch and I'm kind of with you. Like I'm petrified of rats living in New York City. They're all over the place. When I go to the Poconos and I see like a little skunk, I don't want to get sprayed by one of those. So I don't like, I love dogs, but I don't love, you know, the random animals. But anyway, I was asked once by a client to go to his ranch and his farm. And he said to me, we'll wake up in the morning and we'll kill pigs and have bacon. I go, I love bacon, but I'm not running around with a knife or whatever you're doing killing a pig.
Wait, I picture Gelb thinking he's going to have to put eye black on like Rambo.
Yeah. Spartans, prepare for glory.
With a big knife. Strapped to it with nothing else, and you're just gonna walk out in the woods and hunt.
Like, look at this body. I love bacon. I'm not killing the pig, though. I don't need to know how the bacon gets on my plate.
You know what else I have a problem with? Eating food with the eyes.
Oh yeah.
So I don't like when they put the pig in the box and they open it up and it's just pig.
That scares you?
Yeah. Well, it's not my favorite because I don't know where the baby backs are.
Hmm.
It's just meat, right? I don't like fish when they put the whole fish in. On
like the bronzino?
Bronzino, yeah.
Yeah.
Nope.
I kind of like just when it comes up like chopped up. I don't need the actual fish on the plate.
Right, but so a lot of restaurants, because I've gone to restaurants, Italian restaurants, where people have gotten that, and they bring it out and then they take it all off right then and there. Meanwhile, I'm sitting next to him just staring that thing in the eyes, and I'm like,
nah, nope. It's not happening.
Not happening.
By the way, Chris Perkins is going to join us today at 1:20. We'll get a Dolphins training camp report. Oh. We'll do headlines in just a second. I got to ask you a question, though, right out of the gate. Huh. So this regime, it's a question mark with John Eric Sullivan and Jeff Hafley coming in. Like, I see people saying, oh, yesterday Malik Willis didn't have a good day in training camp. I don't care. I've been to enough of these training camps. It's first off, it's practice, so you should be taking risks.
Taking risks, right.
Number two, these training camps are so monotonous. They could be in my backyard. You could not have me any interest in watching these training camps. I've been to enough of them throughout the years, and obviously they're not like the training camps back when you played. Now, if it's a joint practice, that's a little bit different. Those are fun.
Right.
But I'm not going to overreact. I'm not going to be disappointed, right? Like, to me, that's just a bunch of nonsense. But I will ask you something I thought about. Like, they made a big move bringing in Malik Willis, which you can get out of it easily because it's only $45 million guaranteed on a three-year contract. Mm-hmm. And then their first draft pick was Kaden Proctor. For you to judge this regime to make you feel like it could be potentially successful, what's a bigger deal for John Eric Sullivan and also Jeff Hafley in year one? Is it to get success out of Malik Willis or is it to get success out of Kaden Proctor?
Kaden Proctor, because you hope to have 5-10 years out of him. If Malik doesn't work out, you're only tied into him for a year. You don't look like a failure if you bring in a quarterback for $20 million a year, right? You look like a failure if you draft a offensive lineman and he ends up being a bust. And so from that standpoint, you have to. But let's be clear. I'm not saying that the Dolphins can't have success, but there's no Tampa Bay Rays in football. Everybody's spending the full amount of money, and your hands are tied. You're 100 plus million less. So if you're able to compete with all those other teams, you've had a good scheme or you have picked players great in that you got guys that are on one-year deals, guys that aren't making big money that have produced and fit your system quite well. It can happen. But it, like to say that, you know, I think a lot of people just figure the Dolphins aren't going to be any good because of the unknown. Like, we think we like to know, right? But I tell you what, it's proven. Every year, every single year, 4 to 6 new playoff teams are in the mix.
And usually they have young quarterbacks. Like, you take a look.
Right.
C.J. Stroud, they were the second pick of the draft during the second round of the playoffs as rookie year. Jaden Daniels.
Right.
They were the second pick of the draft. Boom, they go to the NFC Championship game. Now, let me be clear. Right. I'm not selling that to Dolphins fans
that I had that expectation.
Right. But if this team is maybe what they were with Brian Flores in the tank for two a year, where they won 5 or 6 games and they ended up being the 5th or 6th pick in the draft, that wouldn't shock me because, yeah, I think the Dolphins are, on paper, the worst team in football, but are they that much of a difference right now with the rosters from the Dolphins to the Browns or the Dolphins to the Jets or the Dolphins to the Cardinals? You go win 2 games where a team's sleeping on you because they had a big win from the week before. That's, we've seen that happen before in this league. Like a few years ago, the Patriots, they were a terrible team. They had 3 or 4 wins. First week of the season, they beat the Cincinnati Bengals. Like, you could get an upset or two on this schedule because
was that
maybe
really
a team's
upset,
not taking
it. Looking back on it?
Yeah, no, it was.
And here's the other thing is that New England also had the luxury of playing the easiest schedule in football.
Yeah, I was talking about 2 years ago, just to be
clear. 2 years ago when they were bad, right. Mm-hmm. And they went 4 games and one of them was the Cincinnati Bengals, right?
That's what I'm saying. Right. Like, you have one of those random games where at the end of the year you go, this is one of the worst teams I've ever watched, but remember when they beat Cincinnati in week one? Like, that could happen for the Dolphins, especially early.
I think another thing is that the team that usually has the biggest letdown, and this is proven, right, is the team that loses the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you look at history with the Dolphins, the Jets, and New England, right? Buffalo is going to be favored by a ton to win the division. But between those three teams, who's going to make that jump? Is New England going to continue? We have no idea. We don't even talk about the Jets. They have talent.
Yeah. If you're telling me who's more likely to make a jump this year, the Jets or the Dolphins, it's the Jets.
Jets. Right. Because just based on what they have on paper. Now, people have argued this, and I've gone back and forth with Tobin about this. Okay. He says, but they have Geno Smith. And Geno Smith has proven that he can play.
Yeah, he could take you to the playoffs. He could also take you to the number one overall pick of the draft.
Correct. And so I think when you look at a lot of these teams, it's like, do we know how much talent the Raiders have? Absolutely not. You know why? Because they're the Raiders, and they're going to do Raider stuff.
Yeah, but if they play Mendoza early on, which right now Kirk Cousins is viewed as QB1, I'm intrigued by that team more than the Dolphins because you have Brock Bowers, who's a proven stud. You got Ashton Jeanty, who's trying to be a stud. Right. And then you got Fernando Mendoza, who was the darling of college football last year. Like the Dolphins, you got Brooks, you got Achane. Like we're having a conversation about Willis against Proctor. And I agree with you, by the way. Like Willis, I think most people expect him not to be the guy long-term here or this not to work. And this is the guy that they just are out there. It's $40 million guaranteed. If it doesn't work, some guys pay more than $40 million a year on
right.
a quarterback.
Right.
So it's not something that you can't recover from. But Proctor, that's your first big draft pick. I'm good with playing him at left guard right away. I think he was the best offensive lineman in this draft. That's what I had him viewed and ranked as. That's a guy that you have to hit. And that's the easiest way for the Dolphins to try to turn this thing around is they got to get these draft picks right, and they ultimately got to get a quarterback, which has been the story since Marino hasn't been with the franchise.
So there's a couple of things that I'll look for this year. And something that has plagued this offense for the last 3 or 4 years. And it's not quarterback. It's not play calling. It's not anything. But if you look at the most successful teams in the NFL, the one thing that you can go back and look at is how many starts when they won the championship did their starting five offensive linemen have together? That's a fact. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to be the best. But if you have the same five guys and you learn how to work with one another and learn where your weak spots are and figure out that, when you start having to move guys around, it always seems like a struggle at some point. With everybody. So if they just have the same five guys giving you 14 to 15 games, you're going to look at this team and go, oh, they really picked it up. But the only difference is they've had continuity at one unit. And that's what the Dolphins have missed on in the last couple of years. If you can do that, you think of all the great offensive teams. You think of what? Continuity on the offensive line. Now look at some of these great quarterbacks, what has plagued them. Go to Cincinnati, go to Kansas City, right? What has happened? Injuries on the offensive line, can't protect your quarterback, and he struggles. And that's, I know it sounds, you know, not exciting.
No, but you don't need a PhD in football to figure out that the game is won in the trenches. It's my uncle, when I was 8 years old, used to tell me, football is won in the trenches. And he's 1,000% right.
Right.
If you can't block and you can't get to the quarterback and beat the you-know-what out of him, usually you don't have a chance to win in this league. By the way, headlines are brought to you by Doral Kia. In Miami at a Domino's game, you'll always find your Abuelito. And whenever you want a low price, you save with your Pricito. Save now with your Pricito at Doral Kia. The Marlins three-game winning streak is over as they lost to the Mets last night 4-2. The Marlins will be back in action in New York, and it will be Jansen Junk going up against Freddie Peralta in Queens. From Dolphins training camp yesterday, Chop Robinson has been shining. That's like, as I said about Malik Willis. Alrighty, that's good now. In July, I'd rather have it be positive than negative, but you know it and I know it, Leroy. Come game time, are we going to see that same version of Chop Robinson?
The problem is that there are certain positions on the field where it doesn't even matter till you can get hands on you, right? Until the defender or the offensive player can physically put his hands on you. It's not the same without pads, right? So when you look at Chop Robinson, when you look at Kenneth Grant, right? His problem was he didn't know how to use his hands last year. He'd stand straight up and get bulldozed, right? And so instead of playing a read and react defense, I think he's going to play more of an aggressive style where he's just going to shoot gaps. And that plays more into his strength. So when you see him play early in the year, everybody's going to say, wow, he's really turned a corner. He's really he's playing a different defense. That's it. That's it. The hardest thing for wide receivers, offensive linemen, and defensive linemen and corner DBs, the hardest thing for them to get acclimated to is using your hands, because in college, you used your athletic ability. And now you have to use technique. You got to get your hands in there. You got to learn how to be physical. You got to learn how. What do they talk about wide receivers for years? Wait till he gets jammed. There's some guys can't get off the line of scrimmage. You got to run them in motion at 400 miles an hour to get them free, because if they get hands on them, the route's over. So there's a lot of things that these young guys have to learn. The problem is there's so many young guys, they're going to learn on the fly.
Talking about wide receivers, by the way, yesterday, Chris Olave of the Saints did sign a four-year extension for $132 million with $90 million guaranteed. So the price just keeps on going up and up and up for these wide receivers around
the
NFL.
Ohio State wide receivers probably have $700 million in the league right now.
Yeah, it feels like just this offseason, honestly.
Right.
This weather report is brought to you by Tornado Roofing and Contracting. Beat the storm, schedule your free roof and window estimate today. Call 954-968-8155. I believe it's a little cloudy today. Some rain could be on the way later this afternoon in South Florida. High of 93 with a low of 79. It is Tobin and Leroy right here on 104.3 FM, WQAM. Zach Gelb sitting in for Tobin. We'll be back in a few minutes. And when we do return, I got three college football questions for Mr. Leroy Horde. We'll get to those next. All righty, welcome back in. It is 104.3 FM, WQAM. Tobin and Leroy, Gelb, Zach Gelb in for Tobin on this wonderful Friday. So, Leroy, you know I love talking college football with you, so I got some college football questions that I want to ask you in just a second. But first, country star Brad Paisley is coming to the War Memorial Auditorium in Fort Lauderdale this September, and we got a chance for you to win tickets. For more details on how you could win, be listening at 11:40. This is a Live Nation show. What's the best concert, by the way, that you've ever been to? Are you a big music guy?
So I've been to, and this is all backstage stuff.
Oh, so okay.
When they came through Cleveland, we could just walk in. So MC Hammer, Janet Jackson, Madonna. Backstage for Madonna was crazy. But probably some of my most favorite is going to concerts down here with guys that I know from back home. So they had something called Crowd Debauchery one time, and Manny Fresh was there. So I took my son because I know Manny Fresh. Then I took my son to see Wynton Marcellus, who as a kid, I knew him because my grandfather played in a band with his dad.
Oh, really?
So I knew all the family. And then I went to school with a Batiste brother. So when John Batiste or any of the Batiste brothers come down, I try to go see them or at least go eat lunch or something like that with them.
My favorite is Bruce Springsteen. So yeah. I've seen Bruce so many times.
So me and Bernie said, hey, call me one time. He said, hey, let's go eat lunch with Paul. I'm like, Paul? He's like, Paul, guy, you know, from Cleveland. I say, all right. So we go eat and I'm like, oh, Paul, what's up? You know, we take pictures, you know, he goes, hey, what are you guys doing? Right? You want to just get on a tour bus and go? Now, I had no idea all these years that he was the guitarist for Taylor Swift.
Huh. So you were invited to the wedding? Is that what you're telling me?
No. I was invited to the concert when they were down in Miami.
Yeah, the lead guitar player for Avril Lavigne listened to me when I did the national show on New Orleans, and I got like a random DM. So right. I went to an Avril Lavigne show.
Hey, bro, Jennifer right now is like, that's her favorite.
Well, there's I didn't know the controversy I was throwing myself into. There's a controversy that like she died years ago and that this is like, you know, not Avril Lavigne. I saw Avril Lavigne in person. If it's not her, I would be surprised. But right. I did not know that. But yeah, the lead guitar player, he's, you know, I've hung out with him and stuff like that. But I could not believe Dave Immelman. I could not believe that there was a conspiracy theory. He didn't even tell me about it because I guess like they don't talk about it, but they know that it exists. But one of my friends reached out to me. They go, "Well, does she still actually exist?" So yeah, Avril Lavigne. You know, I was backstage. It was at Jones Beach, and I got up to the VIP section because I got passes from David. And they go, "How'd you get these tickets?" And I go, "From Dave and the band." He goes, "Well, there's three VIP tickets tonight. There's like fake VIP and then real VIP," they were telling me. And I was in the real VIP. And they go, "You have two out of these three tickets." So he just wanted to make sure that you weren't just someone that somehow got them some way, somehow.
Right. So it's really cool. But I got to tell you, every time an artist takes time off, they always come up with some of these random stories, right? Like
yeah.
Something happened. Like, no, maybe they just needed a break.
Yeah. Well, going out on stage every night and having to be at 100 in front of people that spend a lot of money and get those tickets. And God knows what people are doing behind the scenes, too, when you're living that lifestyle. Right. Probably there's definitely a wear and tear on the body. There's no doubt about it. Alrighty, I got three college football questions for you, and they're all pretty recent.
Sure.
I saw Kyle Whittingham, the new coach of Michigan, the other day, who is very close with Urban Meyer going back to their time together at Utah. And Urban is a mentor to Kyle Whittingham. We know Urban Meyer and the Michigan Wolverines program don't see eye to eye, to say the least. Kyle Whittingham said he would be open to having Urban Meyer come to a practice, just clearly not the one before the game between Ohio State and Michigan. Would Leroy Horde be okay if Kyle Whittingham showed up to one of his practices this summer and had Urban Meyer right next to him?
How do you know he's not a double agent?
Like a little Stallions kind of guy?
I don't know. Is he welcome at Ohio State?
Who? Urban?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Then can't do it.
Still can't do it. So Michigan legend Leroy Horde is out.
It has nothing to do with how I feel about Urban Meyer. It's a bad look.
I agree.
You see what I'm saying? That's like somebody inviting Jimmy Johnson to a Florida State practice.
Yeah, wouldn't happen.
Like it just. I don't care how close of friends he is with. Like it may be on the up and up, but. How many people lose their mind?
But that was my takeaway from it. The fact that Kyle Whittingham even said it, and I get it, like they've been dear friends for years.
He's not familiar with it.
He's not, but as the coach of Michigan, you need to be familiar about it, number one.
Yes.
But number two, it shows you, and I know Michigan's trying this new era and this new wave away from the Michigan man and the Harbaugh era. It shows you how drastic the Harbaugh era is going to be to the Whittingham era, because there's no way Jim Harbaugh would be inviting anyone from Ohio State affiliation back with the program, to watch a practice.
Well, keep in mind, Jim Harbaugh is probably the last tie to Bo Schembechler. Well, he's not the last tie. The last tie is Ward Manuel.
Yeah.
Because I've known Ward since we were 8.
Yeah.
So, and we went to Michigan together.
Mm-hmm.
So we were both coached by Bo. So the last person that I can think of in any capacity at the University of Michigan was Ward Manuel.
Can we get Leroy Horde to throw his name in the hopper to be the next AD?
No.
Why not?
No.
Imagine being the next AD at Michigan. You could be on the 50-yard line with me. We could be in a luxury box eating like shrimp and caviar.
I think
it'd be awesome.
here's the problem. As most people know of me, I don't know how to play the game.
Ah, yeah, you're too honest.
The corporate game. Look, I put things out there for what they are and how they and what I need them to be, right? And so playing nice, you know, with a whole lot of different people that I know I would be a phony.
Yeah, those boosters.
That wouldn't fly. So and that's okay. I know my personality. I know how I am. Like I'm just not that guy.
But think of, we could get unlimited Zingermans. Like, think about that. Do you know how exciting that would be? Get unlimited sandwiches. Who cares if they're destroying you in the press and if you have to deal with these snobby boosters? We got unlimited sandwiches.
I could still get that stuff.
Yeah, that's true. You're a big
like
deal.
I'm not.
By the way, I don't think I've ever told you this story. When I went to the game a few years ago when they won the year they won the national championship, I was wearing my Leroy Horde Michigan jersey, and some guy comes up to me. He goes, "Great jersey, man." He's like, "Do you know him?" I go, "Of course." I go, "He's my uncle." Well, the guy was so drunk as a skunk, he never put it together. Like, this guy's white, and he's saying Leroy's his uncle. And he goes, "Oh, that's the coolest thing." He goes, "Like, how is he?" I go, "He's the best uncle I've ever
had." Oh, my goodness. Look, that's the thing about college. Tailgates for college start a lot sooner than in the NFL. And
yeah,
there's half, like, there's a house across the street that a club bought.
Yeah, it's wild.
And they gutted it, made it into a bar and a barbecue spot, and all the members go and eat and drink there, and some of them never even go to the game.
All righty, real quickly, let me just get two more questions, and then we're going to take a break.
Sure.
So I was talking to John Fante yesterday from NBC Sports, and he does a great job. Uh-huh. And he said he thinks Kurt Cignetti could be the next Nick Saban. And I said, well, like, in the NIL era, I don't think there's going to be many dynasties, and also Cignetti 64-65. I said, but let me take it one step further with you, if we'll disagree on that. I said, do you believe Indiana football will win another national championship? And he said, without a doubt, they will at least win one more national championship. Do you think Cignetti at Indiana, who just won the title, will win another natty?
At some point, no matter how tough and how much of a game plan you can put in, you need players. And I don't know. And here's what I would always say about certain teams. I don't know if they're in a position for big name recruits and big name players to want to go to Indiana if they have the resources. Like, I can understand if you're a quarterback and you're coming out of college, you'll kick the tires on it, right? But I don't know if they have the resources of an Alabama. Or even if Alabama has a down year, they're still going to get top-notch players.
Yeah, helps so with the Cuban money that they have right now.
Right.
Mark Cuban.
But again, that's all fine and great. But if I get offered $3 million to go play college football, or $5 million, or whatever it may be, right, and I have a chance to choose, even though Indiana's won the national championship, right, And I can get $5 million to go to Ohio State or $5 million to go to Indiana. It becomes a point where your resources aren't gonna match, you know, the overall success of these other universities. You would need Mark Cuban would have to, in order to get kids to go to Indiana, Mark Cuban would have to still overpay. That's where Indiana is.
Yeah, and they have a chance to win a national championship again this year. They have Hoover coming over. Their left tackle is a top 10 player in college football, you know, not at the quarterback position. I was reading an On3 article yesterday, the top 10 non-quarterbacks in college football. They had a defensive tackle. They had an offensive tackle. So two guys from Indiana on that list. And the schedule's easy this year. So right. I think they could get back to the playoff. And if you're in the dance, you got a chance to go home with the prom queen. All righty, we got to take a break. I'll give you the last question on the other side. It has to do with the Canes. Zach Gelb and Leroy Horde here with you on 104.3 FM WQAM. All righty, welcome back in. It is Tobin and Leroy. Zach Gelb in for Tobin on this Friday. Chris Perkins is going to join us coming up at 1:20. We will get an update from Dolphins training camp. The Dolphins are in training camp. The Canes start next week. Marlins are in action. The Heat and Panthers offseason news too. We've got it all. You could also listen to WQAM on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn apps. Download it today
and make Tobin and Leroy your favorite show. I guess at some point during this show, I got to say Goosies and then just also just go Leroy, right? I got to play the role of Tobin today.
Something good has to happen.
Okay.
And the Marlins lost and we're not, there's really nothing, you know, there's really nothing going on other than Tyler Hero doing Tyler Hero stuff.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you this, though. Some people say I'm the good luck charm of this station. I've been filling in a lot this summer. The Heat get Giannis. The Panthers get another Tkachuk. I'm bringing the good vibes here to 104.3 FM WQAM. Pat Riley should be calling me and thanking me. Vinny Viola should be calling and thanking me with the Panthers and the Miami Heat. I think this is the summer of Gelb here on 104.3 FM WQAM.
I got to tell you, it has been like, I don't know how they're doing it with the Panthers. I think one of the things that helps this, right? And this is what I hate. This is one of the things I hate about sports, right? Is that there are players on that team that could leave and get maxed out, right? They take less money. If they suck or they struggle, you know, the fans will say, get rid of them. Let's get somebody else.
Sure.
Like it's, I think we should, in general, over the last couple of years, just appreciate that all these guys gave up money. And everybody says, oh, but they still make a lot. I don't care. You giving up money in a career that is only a small percentage of your life and making that sacrifice to be together. Right.
No state income taxes also help too. That's the other line.
Which is one of the crazy things is that I don't know what happened between Bob and the Florida Panthers, but he ended up making less money.
Yeah, I think what it ended up there is they knew he had to take a discount. Similarly to like how LeBron knew if he wanted to stay in LA, he had to take a discount. And with what he's done for the organization, he didn't want to take the discount here, so he ended up going elsewhere, and they bring in players that aren't, you know, Bobrovsky, obviously, but they bring in guys that are lesser quality, but they're saying, okay, the Panthers could be the Avalanche of a few years ago where the team is so loaded, just get average, goalie play, and you'll be fine. Kind of like the Seahawks this year, where the team was so good, get average quarterback play.
You think Sam Darnold was average?
In the Super Bowl, he wasn't good.
Well, we could do that with Tom Brady's first Super Bowl.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they won in spite of him, right? It happens. But, like, I would say, and here's what happens in that situation. You're going to have to look at some point in the year and say, our goalie saved our butt.
Yeah.
And it's going to have to happen. And so when they talk about excellent goalie play, they're not necessarily talking about when everything's going great. They're talking about those moments where we can mention and just spit off times where Bob had a great save or Bob did this or Bob. That's those moments that you don't realize at the end of the year were important.
Sure. But what I will say is the Hurricanes who won the Stanley Cup this year. They had a goaltender change in the Stanley Cup final.
Right,
and I'll play it the other way. My New York Rangers had Henrik Lundqvist for all these years, and Henrik Lundqvist was the best goaltender in the league, and how many Stanley Cups did they win? Right. Zero. So, yes, the goaltender is so important. We know that. But with the all-star team that they have in front of them on the ice with the Panthers, they are the best organization right now in hockey.
Right.
And to your point, it's championship or bust in a sport that's the toughest trophy to win. So, yeah, a year where they don't make the playoffs or a year where they don't win the Stanley Cup, it's all doom and gloom. But that's the bar and that's where it should be because this is an organization that is on the cusp of being a dynasty because they're the most dominant team in the sport and they've already won those two Stanley Cup championships.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And like you're looking at these guys being together for at least another 2-3 years. If they should happen to like win two more, this will be the greatest stretch of South Florida sports that I think anybody that's, you know, born, you could say you were born in 72.
Well, the Canes could win a championship this year. The Panthers could win a championship.
The Canes winning a championship, that would be six from the time, and I use 72.
Yeah.
Right?
But it's been a while.
It's been a while. Right.
But I'm saying going into this season,
yeah,
the Panthers could win a cup. The Canes could win a championship. The Heat are going to be improved where right. There's excitement with Giannis.
Right.
Like, we'll see what the Marlins do the second half of the season with what has happened so far in July. It's not the most promising from where it looked like in June. But, yeah, there's no doubt about it. There's excitement because you have the Heat, you have the Canes, and you have the Panthers all in the mix. And if the Dolphins could ever figure out their quarterback situation and building a team, then it would really get crazy. All righty, I know we got to take a break. We'll do the last college football question that I had for you on the other side. It has to do with the Canes. I already squeezed one in about Cignetti. I already squeezed one in about Kyle Whittingham. It is Leroy Gelbin for Tobin today on this Friday. Hour number one in the books. We're coming on back with hour number two next. And we'll have to look back at something that happened, a beef once between Tobin and myself about something with this very fine radio program that had to do with the second hour. We'll maybe rehash that on the other side.